Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on November 8th, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and executive producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Aren't we glad that election is finally over? No more stuffed mailboxes.
No. No more political ads. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's wonderful. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you saw my weekend guide that went out this morning. Boy, oh, boy, the lines at my polling place were – I've never seen lines like that, not even 2 years ago. The line was out the door, around the building, down the street. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It was huge. Yeah. We're going to talk about that actually tomorrow. We're going to talk about all the propositions that passed or didn't pass. We're going to talk about those people that were elected and those that didn't get elected after being expected to win and all of that stuff. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. A recap.
I gotta tell you something funny. I know this is gonna sound a little ignorant, but you know, I went Tuesday and I voted, and since then I have tried to avoid the results.
I
know that sounds weird. I mean, some of the stuff I obviously cannot avoid, the big national stuff, but the local stuff I have tried to avoid. So I'm hoping some of it will be a surprise for me tomorrow when we go through it.
Okay.
I mean, you know, all I can do is cast my vote. You know, I can't do anything about the results, right? All I can do is cast my vote, which I did. And it's a little up in the air. So it'll be me, you, and Mark tomorrow, but we might have council member Richard Montgomery on, or we might have Steve Napolitano on. We might have one of them, or maybe both. I don't know. Mark was still setting it up. So, we'll have some people on that actually know what they're talking about. And then I'll get the results and I'll be surprised. So,
okay,
I'm looking forward to it. But I'm very excited about this morning's show. Very excited.
Yeah, this is great. I feel like I'm almost a sort of a founder of this new company because I graduated high school in 1977,
well,
and they kind
of
named their company after
that's what I want to find out. I want to find out why the name, you know, there's a bunch, we know nothing about this. So let's get to it.
Jackie, who are our guests today?
Our guests this morning are Brian Waldman, Stephanie Merg, and Chris Rogers, co-founders of Garage 77. Now, Garage 77 is a unique community garage concept founded in 2017 in Redondo Beach. Brian and longtime friend Chris Rogers came up with a business model that provides classic cars in a vintage space to a small group of members. The goal was to create an experience that offers all the perks of owning classic cars without the hassle at a fraction of the cost in your own private garage lounge. Now, Brian has worked for over 20 years in the financial tech space in both Culver City and New York, and currently works remotely for a financial tech company from his home or his office at Garage 77. Originally from Toronto and now living in Hermosa Beach, Brian enjoys the Southern California lifestyle where he can surf and ski in the same week. Now, Chris Rogers is a lifelong East Coaster. A short assignment in 2002 gave him a taste of the South Bay, and he's never been able to stay away for long since then. Now, being in New York City doesn't give him much opportunity to drive, so he loves having an amazing lineup of cars waiting in sunny California. Despite work and family keeping him based in the East, you'll see him periodically at the garage, and he's in touch daily with the other founders. Now, Chris, originally from New England, is a 20-year veteran of financial technology and has lived in New York City for nearly 25 years. Now, Stephanie Murr grew up in Columbus, Ohio, and attended DePaul University in Chicago, where she met her husband. After a 4-year stint in Dallas, they made their way to the South Bay in 2013 and haven't looked back. Their growing love of classic cars paired with the Southern California lifestyle was where the idea for Garage 77 was born. Stephanie is a 13-year veteran of the technology industry, where she currently works in enterprise software sales supporting the media and entertainment industry. She lives in Hermosa Beach with her husband and 7-month-old daughter, and in their downtime, you can find them sailing the Pacific or enjoying their lovely hometown, Hermosa Beach. So, Joe, this morning, we're going to learn all about Garage 77, and if you looked at the pictures I sent you, all those fabulous cars. Stephanie, Brian, Chris, welcome to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we're excited to be here, too. Oh.
Okay, everybody's there.
Thank you. Thank you all. This is an interesting concept. So who's best to tell us, like, the history, the genesis story? Best to tell them.
So this is Brian. A friend of mine loaned me a 71 Dodge Challenger, and I live in Hermosa Beach in one of those townhouses. And we have a guest space, so I parked it in the guest space, and everyone in the neighborhood would kind of come around and look at the car, and we kind of hang out in our like little space between the two garages of the two townhouses. And we just kind of hang out, and we started lounging in that space, and we were kind of thinking, like, well, this is great, but, you know, I'd like to own one of these cars. I definitely don't have space to park it, and it was kind of odd also just hanging out under, like, you know, in our driveway all the time. So that's kind of where the idea kind of came around, is like we live in these small houses in Hermosa and Manhattan Beach, and just to have a space to be able to, you know, park our toys and be able to have a little space to even get away and, you know, get away from the house and be able to lounge around and get away from the kids sometimes. And that, you know, then we found this real estate, and we were like, and then the whole idea just kind of ballooned, and we ended up, you know, figuring it all out, and we bought a collection of cars, and then we thought, you know, we'll open this up and create a little community of like-minded people who also would find a benefit in this kind of idea.
I love that.
The concept. Yeah. Tell us about it. I mean, is it a lounge? Is it a place to gather? And are you looking to grow your membership? Is it a rental agency? What's the concept?
So the main concept is that it's a shared community of, it's a shared space and a shared community where the experience is as if it's your own space, and these are your own cars. So you can come here, you can take the cars out whenever you want, you can hang out. We've got a whole bank of like 1970s pinball machines. The whole space is kind of 1970s style. So it's all about like bringing you back and nostalgia, and being able to enjoy the vehicles. And you don't have to take the car for the whole day. You can take it for an hour. You can leave your daily driver here. We have lots of parking. You can take the car home for a week, make it your daily driver for a week, or just, take it for dinner, whatever you want. So it's as if this is your garage, your space, and you use it as you want.
Wow.
Your garage in 1977. Your garage in 1977.
That's kind of the idea right there. We picked 77 because we just averaged all our birth years together, and that's the number that it came up with, and we kind of like the sound of it, and it's just very simple. And
I thought you picked 77 because that's the year I graduated from high school.
There you go. And we only have one 1977 vehicle, but I think if you average all the years of our vehicles, it'll probably be pretty close to that as well.
I love the logo. It's very retro. I love the Garage 77 logo. It looks like every what were those? They used to sell, I think it was K something. On the TV commercials now, the music of the 60s or the music of the 70s, they sell these, six packs of music. And the logos back then used to look very similar to the Garage 77 logo. It's very groovy.
Yeah, that's good. Groovy Garage 77.
Mm-hmm. Well, we always say it's kind of the grooviest or coolest way to get around town through Garage 77 with all the cars. So, and I think the benefit that we see is that, we actually took a look at things in terms of if you were actually to rent a classic car that is part of our fleet, I mean, it averages around $500 a day for a rental. And that's actually, when you think about, actually joining this community, it actually averages out to that price over the full, annual year on a per monthly basis. So it's a fraction of the cost of renting something just for a day, with a lot more benefits and perks from a space perspective. And, being myself from the Midwest, we're really used to a lot of space, right? You have these, large plots of land and, with a big backyard, maybe, a space for a multi-car garage. If you're in more of a rural area, you don't have that here in the South Bay. And being from the Midwest, as well as my husband, we really wanted to, have the experience of these classic cars that we started to really see around Southern California after moving here 5 years ago, but there was no space to house them. And so, to Brian's point, we were chatting and we said, hey, let's create this community so others that have this same type of mindset and interest can really join and, share that experience. And so we're really doing this, to really foster community, primarily in the South Bay now with expansion plans later. And it's, the people who are part of this community it's fantastic. So we're having a lot of fun.
Well, you certainly landed in the right place for a car culture.
Right.
Southern California is a car culture. It's and the original car culture, you started way back when. And we have, so many great car shows in the South Bay,
right.
From El Segundo to the Hill. It's amazing. I mean, you guys have been out here a few years. So have any of you attended like the Palos Verdes Concours d'Elegance or the El Segundo Main Street Car Show every Friday night at Ruby's? Although that just ended. That's only through October. So that just ended. Coffee with Cars in Manhattan Beach, the Vet Set. I mean, there's so many incredible car shows in the South Bay. So the question is, do you guys enter your cars? Do you bring them to any of these events?
So, it's kind of a funny thing that we're actually not huge car people. We just enjoy the cars. We drive the cars like to restaurants. I enjoy the nostalgia of the cars, but I was never a big gearhead. So it's funny. I've never really been to any of these car shows. I've been to the Driving Museum in El Segundo. I've been to Ruby's a couple times, of course, with my kids. But to be honest, we're not, a few of our, a few of the members here, they are, some of them are gearheads, but a lot of them are just like us where they just, they just want to use them on a casual basis and they don't know about positive traction rear ends and, and compression ratios and stuff like that. And, I'm obviously learning all that because every time we have to buy a car, you better know what you're buying, and usually we don't know much about the car until after we've owned it for a while, and we're like, oh man, you know, there's so much to know about, like a 1959 Corvette. I had no idea. I just, you know, like the look of it. It's an iconic vehicle, and I love driving it.
Joe, do you know where this is? I believe it used to be called, it's on PCH in Redondo. I think,
right.
Did it used to be called Classic Cars? It used to be a place that sold higher-end used cars. What was it called, Brian?
It was called Classic Motors, and we actually kept the original branding on the building because I really liked the way they painted it up. And, in fact, our logo is just really small on top of the door. So we're kind of keeping it, keeping the look of the space the way it is until you get inside, obviously.
Yeah. Well, let's let's get down to the nitty gritty. So, tell us, okay, how many members do you have?
So right now we have 21 members. We're thinking of actually cutting it off at 30. We feel like that's a good number for this space. We're going to maintain around 7 cars, I think 7 or 8 vehicles. So there's always going to be cars. The ratio is incredible. And that's it. We're just going to keep it small and so that people really feel like they're a part of the space and that it's their space.
So you and Chris and Stephanie are founders. Are the other members old friends of yours, or are they people that just walking off the street, or how did they hear about you? What's the makeup of the membership?
Well, they're definitely our friends now, but they weren't.
Yeah.
We never met any of them before, so it's not like we brought in any of our own personal friends. Because they would have just ended up being a partner. Like, we would have just been like, hey, let's start this up. All of them have been walk-ins because we actually haven't done any marketing whatsoever of the club. We have a very small Facebook presence, and none of us are really big into social media or understand how it works. So we're just still in very, very much startup mode. People just walked by or they heard about it from another member, and we've just kind of been growing organically.
So does everybody have their own key to the clubhouse? So at any time, any time, any day, they can just go in by themselves, open up, hang out, play a little pinball, have a little coffee or something?
That sounds about right. You know, we like to describe ourselves as unstaffed, even though I'm here a lot of the time. So people can just kind of let themselves in. There's a little app on their phone. They click on the car that they want. They can drive it out. They open the garage themselves. They close it up themselves. And that's just how it works.
I love
that. So I want to get a sense from Chris, because you're a lifelong New Yorker, right?
Yes.
When you think of the appeal of an operation like this located in another city, do you see that as a viable, almost like a franchise?
So that's certainly something that we've thought about. We want to see how it goes here now. I mean, obviously it's a little odd. I know that I, all the way over in New York, am involved.
Yeah.
Brian and I have known each other for many years now and have done a variety of ventures together. So when Brian came to me talking about this idea, we brainstormed a bit, and it seemed like something I wanted to be involved with anyways. I also, said I'm in a position to travel a bit, and so often get out there for periods of time. I was actually just out last weekend for a long weekend driving some of the new cars. So I definitely get to take advantage of it even from here.
It's an interesting concept, because I mean, there's so many different places you could go for revenue. Go, you know, the bar is open, you know, food is served kind of direction, or you could go the hospitality, you know, it's not just your garage, have a party and invite, you know, friends, and your party will be managed and there will be service and all of that. there's a fee, of course, but members, only members, can have parties at the classic Garage 77.
I think it's interesting. It's interesting where you're going, but that's really not what we're trying to achieve.
Okay.
But, you know, we have thought about different things like that, but that's absolutely not what we're really going after. And again, it really goes back to the cars, right? And really enjoying the ability to, you know, experience these classic, you know, beautiful cars and machines. Mm. And the community that really goes around that. I think from a space perspective, like to where you're going, Joe, I think that it's really primarily a space that where the drivers can come. They could absolutely bring, you know, family and maybe a couple friends before or after a drive, and really use the space that way. But it's, you know, we're not selling food. There's no drinks, you know, that we're selling either. That's really something we want to keep a little more low key, you know, before or after a drive and that type of concept.
I love that. That's what I love about it. It's for you. It's for the members. You know,
right.
You don't have to worry
right.
about, you know, necessarily you think, oh, I'm going to pop in and get a car. You don't have to worry about the space being used for something else. I mean, you know, this is for the members. This is for the members and their cars. And I love everything about that. It's a club. It's a club.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, we I think, you know, we like to say a community because, you know, it's something that, you know, even though, you know, we're thinking about kind of a cap, it's really more of a trying to ease the process of taking the cars in and out, right, and using the cars. And so we wanted to make that, you know, we do have someone here, you know, during kind of quote-unquote business hours. And, you know, Brian and, you know, I sometimes, you know, work out of here as well. And so, you know, we always have people here kind of helping with that process. But to your point, yeah, you know, we also have some other kind of auxiliary parts of the business as well that is mm-hmm. obviously for the public, right? So, you know, we're not necessarily 100% exclusive. That's not our intention either, but there is the benefit of having the community that are, you know, have kind of an annual membership type of agreement, and that enables them to have that access so seamlessly with our help here.
All right. So I have a million questions, Joe. I'm sorry to keep jumping in like this, but
yeah.
It's
interesting.
Yeah, we're both bubbling with questions. So who's in charge of buying the cars? How do you decide what cars to buy? Do you have any? Brian said he's not a gearhead, but do you have a member that knows some stuff that when you're going out to buy one of these cars, they have the expertise? They can give you their expertise.
Well, so some of our members have definitely a lot more knowledge than we do. Getting back to your original question of how do we decide to pick the cars, is we actually just send out like a little, you know, we'll sit down inside the shop, as we call it, or, you know, in the space. And when some of our people come in, we just discuss with them. We're like, what do you think we should get? And, you know, recently, one of our members asked, like, they wanted one of those old Lincoln Continentals with the suicide doors. So we ended up picking one up. You know, we just looked on Craigslist and we saw one that was kind of close by. So we went and looked at it, and, you know, but we actually looked at it for, you know, several of them over the last few months. But yeah, we'll just, you know, it's everyone's space. So we take in everyone's opinion, and we want to get something that people will enjoy. And then, you know, we'll sell one of the ones that we're kind of getting bored of, or we've already, you know, or we didn't enjoy as much as we thought. So it just really is up to everybody. And we take a lot of input in from all the people that are part of this.
It sounds very organic. It sounds very organic. And
it
from
does.
The collection, you
yeah.
sent me a great file of photos. You have a nice variety. Who wants to go through and tell us what cars you currently have?
I guess I'll do that. So we wanted to pick a nice variety because everyone's a little different. Everyone has their own preferences. And we keep track of every time the vehicle goes out so we can, you know what to keep and what not to. So we actually have a 1981 DeLorean that had originally only 8,000 miles on it. And that car was, it's an interesting vehicle. It's a bit of a pain in the butt to keep working. It, isn't the best design car in the world. And it's definitely something you would probably never want to actually own, which is one of the benefits of becoming a part of this, is you get to drive those cars that you would never have a chance to drive and you would really never want to own, but very curious about.
To the future. Everybody wants to go back to the future. Right?
Yeah. And that show is very accurate when Michael J. Fox is in that car and he's trying to start it and he has to try like several times and bangs on the wheel and then all of a sudden it starts up. That's pretty much describes how the DeLorean operates. And that's when it's working. Another big benefit of Garage 77 is that you don't have to deal with all the pain and hassle of keeping these cars running. I mean, they're all, you're driving an antique with thousands of parts. And, even if it's fully restored and our vehicles are in, really great shape, there's things that can go wrong. And, if you owned one of these vehicles and you kept it in your garage and 4 months later you decided, hey, I want to take it out, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. They need constant maintenance. Anyways, getting back to the fleet, we also have, we just picked up a 1967 Camaro RS. That's the first year of the Camaro. It's a convertible. It's black with a nice white stripe in the front, and it's got the hidden headlights, which is the RS package or Rally Sport. That we're just about to put in the fleet. That should be in by the end of the week. We're just doing some brakes on it to make it nice and safe. So when we take a car, we kind of road test it ourselves and go through it and make sure that everything's working as it should. And we have a 1959 Camaro, which is just probably one of the most iconic vehicles ever made. If you're going to buy a book on classic cars, it's going to be the one on the cover. It
Corvette,
is unbelievable and super fun. Oh, what did I say? Sorry?
You said Camaro.
Corvette.
Oh, yeah. Corvette. 1959 Corvette. It's red and white, so it's in the most classic color pattern for it. It's just super fun, and it has the original AM radio, and there's only one station that it picks up, and it plays oldies. And it's just an amazing experience.
That's hysterical.
It is kind of funny. It seems like there's one AM station just for people with old cars with the original AM radio. And it doesn't
funny,
have any ads.
But once you get in it, it automatically plays it and it just takes you back. It's just a really iconic, nostalgic feeling. It's great.
We have a 1987 Ferrari 328 GTS, very similar to the one in the show Magnum PI, which was a 308. The 328 differs a little bit in its aesthetic, but also is a lot more higher performance. I actually like the look of a 308 a little better, but the trade-off in the performance, it was definitely worth getting the 328, which I learned from doing all my research. It's red, so it's in the color that you'd want a Ferrari. What have I missed? We got the Lincoln. We have a 1975 Ford Bronco, just a very popular car right now, especially in the South Bay. It has the roof off. In fact, the roof is hanging inside the clubhouse.
We have a 1977 Jeep.
That's true. Oh. We do have a 1977 Jeep CJ5. Original paint. It's got, I think, 17,000 original miles on it. It was a real find. And then we have a 1956 Porsche 356 Speedster, which is what people call the bathtub, and that's in a dark green color. And it's just a really fun car, just to get around or cruise up the coast. It's just a really amazing piece of machinery.
The pictures that you sent. These cars are in cherry condition. That Bronco, I actually, this morning when I was posting the show link, I used that picture of the Bronco that you provided to us. They are cherry.
It's a funny story with the Bronco is that was like one of the first cars that we purchased. And we knew when we were starting Garage 77 that we wanted an early Bronco, 1975 or older. They actually made them up to 77. The reason we want 1975 is you get a, you don't have to deal with the smog if it's 1975 or older. So it's just one less hassle that we have to deal with. So if you have a choice, we'll always get a car 1975 and older. We could not find a Bronco that we liked after looking for several months. We actually hired a company to build that Bronco for us to our specifications.
Really?
We got to pick the color, and we wanted it to look all original with a 2-inch lift. So other than the 2-inch lift, that Bronco is stock.
Wow.
Yeah, it's uncut. Wow, original motor, manual choke. You got to pull the choke out to start it when it's cold. It's two gas tanks. You have to, you can flip over manually from one gas tank to the other. It's just, it's as if it rolled off the assembly line.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Fantastic.
I have to say, this all sounds very expensive. This all sounds very expensive, buying a bunch of old cars, maintaining them. Now, who does your maintenance?
Well, we have a couple mechanics that we use from time to time. I'm an engineer through college, I guess, even though I never worked at it. So I have an interest in doing some of the things. So sometimes, you know, I'll go on YouTube and I'll say, oh, it's not that difficult to take apart a carburetor and clean it out. Or, you know, we just had an issue with the Bronco. The shift collar broke. I never even knew what that was until a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I went on eBay and I bought a new shift collar and we bought color matching paint. We spray painted it and then we took the whole steering assembly apart. We put it back on and, you know, it works better than new. So sometimes I do it myself, but most of the time we use a bunch of mechanics. We even have one mechanic that actually comes to our shop and does work right here, and our community likes to come and we get to watch, we get to learn how things work. He just did the conversion on the Camaro from drum brakes to disc brakes. And we did that last night and we just kind of stood around and watched and played some pinball and watched him do a brake job on the Camaro. So that was kind of fun.
I know, Joe, it's like we're giddy over this. We love this whole concept. You know, it's interesting. Joe knows this. I have a 25-year-old Jeep. I bought a Jeep back in 1993, and it turned 25 this year. Last year, I decided to kind of, you know, fix it up. I hadn't touched anything on it, you know, other than regular maintenance for 25 years. And I thought, you know what, time to get a new soft top, time to get new doors, you know, time to, you know, clean it up a little bit. And I spent the good part of a year bringing it in, having work done, but I couldn't find parts for it. You know, the three or four things that I needed to replace, I couldn't find them. They didn't make them anymore. So you're dealing with substantially older cars. How hard is it for you to get? I mean, silly little things like the hazard light button. You know, just little things here and there. Parts I needed that. And I looked everywhere. I looked online. I contacted, you know, different Jeep groups and stuff. So how hard is it for you to get what you need? And do you have do you have regular resources that you can go to?
Most of it, I look online. For example, on the Bronco, there are two websites that handle just Bronco parts for old Broncos, and I think you can build the entire Bronco. They have remanufactured parts, and that one's a very popular car. The DeLorean, there's only one place to get parts, and that's DeLorean in Huntington Beach. There is a business where they're recreating the DeLoreans, or they're fixing up old DeLoreans and selling them, and they've taken it upon themselves to remanufacture all the parts. So pretty much any DeLorean part we can get from them. The Ferrari 328. You can pretty much get parts for that, but they're extremely expensive. So I try and fix whatever part is on there before replacing it if need be. Camaros, easy. So some of them, you know, some of the vehicles are more difficult than others. But, yeah, you kind of have to learn how to navigate. The Internet is a great resource. You can pretty much, you know, I have not had a situation where there was a critical part that I couldn't find. And now even with 3D printers, you know, a lot of the times, you know, if it's a plastic part, you can actually have someone recreate one. The pinball machines, on the other hand, that's more difficult. So not only am I maintaining these vehicles, but we have 12 pinball machines from different eras, from the 70s to the 90s. And those are a little more difficult sometimes to find parts for than actually the cars.
Interesting.
Right.
fascinating. We have, of course, the Automobile Driving Museum in El Segundo, and in talking with them over the years about maintaining the vehicles, they have parts that they've had to source from all over the country and from other countries. In particular, Cuba has been a place where they've been able to and had to, out of necessity, maintain old vehicles because a lot of new vehicles weren't being shipped to Cuba. And some of the people that were born there, lived there, moved, immigrated to the U.S. are now classic car mechanics, and they also make parts for old cars, which is very interesting, I think.
Yeah, very, very.
So,
wow.
Where are we going to go? Oh, you want to do a station break, Jackie?
Yeah. We need to do a station break. Yeah.
Okay, great. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking classic cars. But not just classic cars. We're talking Garage 77 in Redondo Beach. That's what we're talking about. Garage77RB.com as a new kind of a gathering place, a new place to talk about classic cars and just to hang out and to build a community. I'm sure they're going to come up with some very, very specific activities. It's going to be fascinating, but we're talking with the founders of the company, and you're encouraged to call in and tell us your classic car story. Give us a call. Our phone number is area code 714.
Do we have to do that, Joe? Do we have to callers? Because I have a lot of questions.
Okay. We have a lot of questions. We will take callers for another show, but not today. Jackie, what's your next question?
Okay, so this is just the top of my head. You've been there. How long have you been in the space, Stephanie?
So we've been in the space. We've actually just been open for just over a year.
Just over a year. Okay. And most of your members are people, walk-ins, people that hear about you or see something. I have to ask, so have you been approached yet by any of the local nonprofits to do events at your space?
You know, we have, and we've actually done, and you know, some of the organic, as you can see, this is kind of an evolving concept of ours, and it's purposely so, but we've done some nonprofit, kind of some silent auctions and things of that nature, but we have, and so we ultimately, we want to give back to the community that we're in, right? We love the South mm-hmm. Bay and everything that it provides, and we have had some asks about that. I think that ultimately, you know, we don't want to get, as I said to Joe earlier, we don't want to get too much into kind of the event space at all because of just you know, some various other reasons. But we have, and I think that that's something that we're definitely interested in doing more, just for more of a silent auction, maybe to, you know, take a car for a spin type of approach.
Yeah. I would imagine, you know, especially if you have young children in school, you know, schools are always looking to do fundraising and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and. Because we have a robust nonprofit community here in the South Bay, and just about everybody I know, is involved in some way, you know, either you know giving them something for a silent auction or, you know, providing an event space or something like that. Because I wanted to ask, because if you haven't, you will be.
That's a big focus for us for sure.
Yeah.
So we've done a few silent auctions already. Actually, Palos Verdes Education Foundation had an 80s night for their gala, and we actually brought our DeLorean over there to allow them to and then we auctioned off a day for the highest bidder to drive the DeLorean around for the day. So we've done several of those. We did Hermosa Beach Education Foundation and Redondo Beach Education Foundation. So we're giving back, and we love being a part of it. You know, we usually pick a car that's easier to drive that we don't have to worry about as much. The DeLorean was just a special exception because it was there as a prop for the evening, and so it was just kind of fun that people were taking their picture with the DeLorean, and then there was like the little silent auction for them, and they were able to bid on a day to drive it, and it was a lot of fun.
And Brian, I think we also did something for the Redondo Beach Police as well, right?
Yes, we did, actually. That was a last-minute thing. One of our friends was putting on a Friends of the Vine, and we did. We donated the Porsche for the day, and that was also great.
Well, that's important because the police, the Redondo Beach Police, are the ones that's going to keep your car safe. So it's always important to have them on your side. You know, I got to tell you a funny story. I was at an event last year and was entered into a raffle, and I won a Tesla for the weekend. And it was the top of the line Tesla. It was like the P something or other. And, you know, I told my husband, I said, I'm not just going to tool around town in this. I said, we got to do a road trip. We got to get out there on the road with this thing. But you want to know something funny? I never even drove it. I get a little nervous with fancy cars. As a matter of fact, I don't think I've ever driven any of my husband's cars. He leans towards the sportier stuff with the bigger, powerful engines. And I'm just so not comfortable with it. I enjoy riding in them. I really enjoy riding in them. I just don't want to be behind the wheel. But I'm guessing you all like to drive them.
Yeah, and you know, the way it works here is I feel like you really feel like they're your cars, and that's kind of the way we want it to be. So you're not like feeling like you're borrowing someone's car. Maybe in the beginning you are, but after a while you get really comfortable. You know, after you've driven it a few times and each different car, and then you kind of get familiar with the concept, and it does feel like it's your space and your vehicle. So I think it's a little bit of a different experience, and that's kind of what we're aiming for.
So yeah, I want to know, go ahead, Stephanie. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think, you know, to Brian's point, you know, it's each of these cars have their own quirks, right? Being, you know, 40 plus years old. And we make sure that every member, that they are really comfortable in them and that they understand the different quirks. And you know, it just depends. It's funny because our members will come in and some will want to take the Ferrari out one day and, you know, drive up to Palos Verdes. Others want a little bit more of a, just an easier ride sometimes. And they'll take, you know, maybe the Porsche out, right? And so it just all depends. And that's what's so beautiful, is that you have a really great range of cars to select from, and you don't have to worry about the maintenance. And so a lot of our members, it's just peace of mind, and we take care of all that for them.
Well, Stephanie, are you a gearhead?
I will admit that I am not a true, you know, diehard gearhead. Absolutely not. I think I really enjoy, again, more of the nostalgia and, you know, moving to Southern California, like I said earlier. You know, I just fell in love with the beautiful cars, and obviously living in Southern California where there's very little rain and you can, you know, really drive these year in and year out. You know, back in Columbus, Ohio, where I was born and raised, you might have a nice little convertible to zip around in, but it's hanging out in your garage for many, many months in the cold winter months and, you know, the thunderstorms and all that. It's a very, very small window where you can actually really enjoy it. And so coming out here and experiencing that kind of extension of your South Bay lifestyle is kind of what I like to say. And also in the South Bay, I mean, what better way and place to enjoy a classic car convertible, which a lot of our cars are. It was just a natural fit and something that, you know, it's just a really nice way to spend some of the downtime or even just drive to work, frankly, or pick your kid up from school. A lot of our members, actually, I heard just this week, one of our members said, his son said, "Hey dad, can we take the new Camaro? Can you pick me up from school in that?" And it's just a really cool type of thing for us to enable and allow our community members to experience and really enjoy.
Well, I wanted to ask Chris, when you come to town, does somebody from the club pick you up at the airport in a cool car, or do you Uber down and just grab the keys to another car and do your thing?
You know, I joke every time that Brian should pick me up at the airport in a car, but yeah, that hasn't happened yet. Generally just Uber in and I'll use what's available, but someday maybe he'll do it.
Someday. Brian, you hearing this?
You know, Chris and I are really close friends, but airport is where I draw the line.
Oh goodness! Oh my goodness! This is terrific, Joe. I'll let you get a word edgewise here. Seems like I'm I'm the gearhead in our little group, huh?
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Brian, I have to say that it's the business that I'm most fascinated about. The cars are wonderful. There are several organizations that maintain classic cars in drivable running condition, like the Automobile Driving Museum. What, Brian, what makes Garage 77 unique?
So as far as I know, no one is doing what we are doing here. There is the New York City Classic Car Club, which might be the closest to what we're doing. What makes us very different from their model is that you can take the cars for like an hour or 5 minutes or a day or a week. With theirs, they have a great club, and it's an amazing place, but it's really like you have to use the car. You get it by the day, and they give you so many miles to the day, and you really have to make an event around the vehicle to make it worth, you know, make it worth the money that you're paying for that experience. And for us, you don't have to make the car your event. It can just be part of your event. If you want to go to the theater, you know, let's say you're going to the Amundsen to watch a play, and you can't imagine doing that drive. It's fun to, like, you know, that now becomes your drive, now becomes part of your evening, and it's fun because you're now taking like a vintage car. People are going to wave at you. It's, you know, you park it at a restaurant, you're going to always get parked out front of any of our vehicles.
Yeah.
And that's, you know what, the big part of it is that you get to drive them and use them as you would your own vehicles, and you don't have to make it an event. And that's what makes what we do very unique.
I'd also add, too, that I think what we've also, and again, this is very kind of an organic evolving concept, and what we have really also seen as a benefit to our community is really the members. And we've come to really enjoy each other's company, talk cars. We're getting more into cars. I wouldn't maybe call us the gearheads yet, but we're definitely getting more into that, just as a natural kind of byproduct of the business. But the members really make it. And ultimately, you know, we want them to share their experiences, you know, have some kind of community-based kind of car rallies, you know, go to lunch, go up to the El Segundo, you know, car museum. And it's really, again, that extension of the South Bay lifestyle in a small community that really is like-minded. And we've just really enjoyed getting to know our members and the, you know, folks that are part of our community. And it's around, you know, these beautiful cars. And it's just a really special type of concept. And we're just really happy about the folks that have, you know, wanted to be part of it. And, you know, we're trying to keep it, you know, small and intimate, but we are thinking about, you know, expanding as well at some point in the future. And so we're just very fortunate and to share kind of our love and with others around the community.
I have to ask, any of you met Pat Aust yet? Pat Aust? Have any of you met him?
That's funny that you said that. I've been over to Pat's, not his house, but he has another building of cars somewhere out east, just east of the South Bay. Yeah, I've met him. He's a great guy, very interesting. I met him through a friend of mine who set up a meeting, and he has a wonderful collection.
Yeah, what did he call it, Joe? Petrol? What does he call his collection? It's not just cars. I mean, he does all signage,
right.
Gas pumps. What's it called? Petrol.
Right.
Petrol. We can't remember what he calls it. Yeah, I don't remember. But he the whole collection, not just the cars. He collects everything
right
around them too. Yeah.
At one point, he had a couple of old fire engines as well.
Yeah.
Has those. Yeah. I saw his old fire engines. They're amazing.
Yeah.
He's just got some really interesting pieces.
Well, he puts on
the
annual Rods, Rides and Relics show on the pier every year. At the end of the summer, I believe it is, he does Rods, Rides and Relics, and they put 100 classic cars out on the pier, and you know they play the oldies music, and yeah, that's a fun event. A lot of his collection is there too. So yeah, he's a good guy. He's an interesting guy. He's former fire chief for Dondo Beach.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. So if somebody wants to join, give us particulars. If somebody wants to join your club.
The best way is for them to give us a call or shoot us an email, and swing by, and well, if we're here, swing by. The best is to call us so that I'll meet them. I only live a half a mile away, and you know, see the space and make sure that it's something that they feel is right for them. And it's just that simple. We have sign a form. Give us a check and get a key. It's that simple. And then, you know, the first time that they try out each car, we just kind of walk them through it and show them how it works. And it's just very simple.
Yeah, I would just reiterate, swing on by.
Swing on by. You know, it's so funny. I would just go to hang out in the club. I probably wouldn't drive any of the cars. Oh, I need to do that more.
Yeah, we, Jackie, we'd love you to come by. I think, you know, not loving the Tesla, you might like some of these cars. And, you know, I would just reiterate, you know, swing on by. We're here during the week and mostly on the weekends too. And we'd love to meet some other folks with like-minded and meet some of the members. And, you know, like Brian said earlier, we have about 21 members now, and we're looking to cap it around 30 or so for this location. And, you know, we'd love to meet some other folks.
Yeah, I imagine that that will fill up fairly fast. Let me ask you: do you bring all the cars in at night? Do you have the garage space to bring all the cars in at night, or do you? Because yesterday when I drove by, I saw one or two of them were covered up. But is that what you normally do?
Some of them get covered.
We have space. Sorry, B. We have space inside that we do definitely store some of the cars, obviously. And then, you know, it's just, you know, some of our members too, they'll take them and they'll store them at their place overnight. So it's just a case by case basis.
Oh, wow. It's very casual. I like it. It's very casual. Not a lot of rules.
That's our intent.
Yeah. I like that. I like that a lot. That's why I've never joined anything, because too many rules. I find it a little stifling.
Yeah, we're actually hoping to not have to create rules. You know, we'd rather just part ways if we have somebody that's part of this and they're causing us to create rules. We just want it to be very free, and people have to understand that, you know, we have to respect their neighborhood and, you know, don't roll in here at 3 a.m. with a loud car. You know, if you're out late, take the car home. Bring it back in the morning. And everyone's kind of understanding of that, and they respect it, and they, you know, we all kind of know the neighbors already, and we talk to them, and it's just kind of, you know, it's about being part of the community not causing trouble. Yeah,
I love that. Well, one of these days I will pop in. As I said, I drive by it pretty much a couple of times every day, right? You know, going right down PCH. So one of these days I'm gonna pop in and say hi and look at your fabulous cars. Back to that Tesla thing, I got to tell you something really funny. We did have plenty of opportunity. We went out to the desert with it, and my husband was just, you know, he just likes to go fast. And so, of course, we took it out on a desert road, and he hit it. And we actually both got nauseous. We both felt a little nauseous from it, because you actually experience, you get G-forces, that thing goes so, the acceleration is so quick, you're not, you know, we're not fighter pilots, so we're not used to it. But beautiful, beautiful car. So do you want to give out some information? Do you know, you said you had a Facebook page. You want to give out a phone number or a website or anything like that, you know, for people to contact you?
Sure. Our phone number is fairly easy to remember. It's 310-340-1977. Our website.
How did you get that?
You know, it's interesting. It can be very expensive to actually get a custom phone number, but there's ways around it. And online, you can search for available numbers and kind of pick one through, you know, we have a VoIP line. So, we actually spent a little time and researched how to do it and figured it out. So, It is possible, and you don't have to pay the huge fees that they charge from the phone company to get something like that.
310-340-1977, is that it?
Yep, that's it. See, you already have it.
I already have it. I already memorized it. That's cool.
And then our website, we're still working on it, but it's there. It's garage77rb, like RedondoBeach.com.
Oh, that's easy.
Okay.
310-340-1977. And I want to go back to something that you mentioned earlier, Brian. You said you were talking about taking a car. You have to go up to the Amundsen Theater to see a show, and you don't want the drive. Joe, it sounds to me like they've already got the whole South Bay MO going. One of the things that, you know, Joe and I have been doing this podcast for over 7 years, and one of the things that pretty much everybody has in common is once you arrive in the South Bay, you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave the bubble.
I mean, I would say 99% of the time our cars don't leave the bubble.
They
go up and down Hermosa Ave, Manhattan Ave. They go to the pier. They go maybe to El Porto.
You might take a drive up the hill, the curvy roads, and you got it. They have the bubble mentality already. It doesn't take long.
Yeah, I've been here since 93, so I've kind of had it for a while. But yeah, you kind of get used to being here and not wanting to deal with the traffic, and the 405 just gives you heart palpitations, so it's like we stay here.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Joe and I are fortunate. You know, we live, we work here. We don't have to get on a freeway and commute every day. But I had to go up to the west side first thing Monday morning. And, you know, 45 minutes to an hour normal. It took me 2 hours to get to Wilshire Boulevard. 2 hours. It was bumper to bumper on the 405. And I was like, I don't understand how people do this every day. I just don't understand.
Well, you can't get on the 405. You can't do it.
You just can't do it.
Can't.
Yeah.
You got to
go
side street. The 405 is not working.
Yeah, it's not. No, it's not working. All right, Joe, you wanna wrap it up?
That's our show. And, you know, it's Chris, Brian, Stephanie. This is obviously a labor of love, and I just think people who don't have their own small business can scarcely appreciate the amount of time and effort it takes to run a small business. But it sounds like you guys are having fun, and we just congratulate you because this is such a unique concept. Even here in Southern California, land of the Beach Boys, it's all about car culture. And I think people are ready for a throwback, you know, to the classic days of car culture. I think wherever direction you guys go in, it's going to work. Thank you for joining us today. Brian, thank you for joining us today.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you guys for having us on.
Thank you. And Chris, thank you for promoting California car culture, even though you're a native New Yorker.
Thanks. My pleasure.
I don't know if I got that right, Jackie. Can you help me with that? How do you say it?
It's New Yorker. I'm from New York, so.
You're so California now. That wasn't right. It's New York.
That's Boston. That's a Boston accent. That New York is a Boston accent. That's not
okay,
right.
Okay.
No, I've actually lived here longer now than I lived in New York. So I think I'm officially a California girl now. So.
Yeah. And Stephanie, thank you so much. Whatever direction you guys take this in, I'm sure it will be successful.
Thank you very much, Joe and Jackie. We really appreciate us. Or you having us on the show today and sharing a little bit about our dream that's now a reality.
It's a strange medium, this thing called online radio, because it kind of lives forever. It'll get out there. People will download it. They'll share it with their friends. People listen to this show all over the world. It's strange. I hope you are rewarded by someone from some faraway place saying we want to be a member. So thank you for joining us And thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. We're going to discuss all the results of the election nationally and locally, but mostly locally, and look forward to seeing you all. Thank you very much. And, of course, thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
See you all. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thank you.